Hello and welcome to another edition of the 105 Football Weekly podcast. My name is Holly Slack, and coming up on today's show, we've got the best bits from the Terraces, the show by the fans for the fans. We chatted Cambridge United after their 2-1 victory over Colchester United. A late Harry Darling goal gave Cambridge United their first win of the League Two season. What a victory it was for Colin Calderwood's side. Myself, Matt Lockwood and Stu Baker discussed that one in the studio. We also looked ahead to the Hughes match against Oldham, which is this Saturday. Stu spoke about the troubles that Oldham are facing. We also discussed City's win on the weekend, a 2-1 victory for them, getting up and running in the BetVictor Isthmian North Division. Well, Histon, they couldn't get off to a winning start, unfortunately. A 3-1 loss to Heybury Swifts. We spoke to manager Lance Key. We also rounded up the women's games. They got their season underway, both United and City, last weekend. A devastating 2-1 defeat for Kevin Hoover's side. A last-minute goal from Enfield made it 2-1 on the opening day. Cambridge City, a real bump back down to earth after winning the Eastern Premier Division last year. A 5-1 thumping by Leighton Orient. We spoke to Tim Rapley. All of that rounded up in today's 105 Football Weekly podcast. So Matt, it's a pretty good win then. It sounds daft really, because we've been so positive about the youth season so far, but it was the first win of the campaign. Did the performance match the result?
Not in the first half, it certainly didn't. I have to say the first half, Colchester were definitely the better team. They really took it to us, put us under pressure, got the early goal, the early penalty. Never in doubt, always a penalty, 100%. It probably could have had one about 10 seconds early, and I think the referee bottled that decision and had to give him the second one.
Both from Paul Lewis, were they challenges as well?
Well, we spoke about it actually during the week, didn't we? About Paul Lewis and his likes to make a late challenge, does enjoy a challenge, does enjoy a yellow card, but I don't think he actually got booked yesterday. But definitely a penalty. They took the lead, completely bossed us for the first half. We were really, really struggling to get out. Frank Newball pulled on to Leon Davies, particularly in the first half, and was giving him a run around. And we really, really struggled with possession, creating any sort of real type of chances. And going in, at half time, lucky in some cases to just be 1-0 down. We really looked like we were sort of out on our feet from Tuesday, sort of emotionally and physically for some of them, especially in the midfield. But whatever was said at half time by Colin really changed the game. We looked a different team in the second half, and it has to be said we've scored two really good goals, especially the first one. I have to say, Mark Richards' header was great to see.
Rose like a salmon.
He did, absolutely. And it was a brilliant ball in by Leon Davies, who has to have credit, because I thought he was poor, but what a ball in, what a ball. Absolutely deserves all the praise for it. And it was nice to see a Cambridge United striker at the back post for once rising to head the ball in the back of the net, which we haven't had for God knows how long. And after that, it really did look like it'd probably just be one winner. We pushed on, we played some good football. Colin switched up a bit. We had three strikers on the pitch at one point, and it was getting really exciting then. And then he went to sort of the 5-3-2 or the 3-5-2, however you want to describe it. And right at the end, Harry Darling pops up with a sort of an overhead kick / half volley thing, which the goalkeeper should have done absolutely better about. There's no doubt about it, but it's great for Harry Darling, who looks like he's going to be around the first team this year for sure. And there's options now, and we've come off a really positive week on the football field. We're unbeaten for this season so far, touch wood, and there's two massive games coming up on Tuesday and Saturday at home that we really need to take advantage of.
Yeah, interestingly, Lynch agrees with you in terms of the first half display, the worst he said he's seen so far this season. Maybe a bit of an effect from Tuesday, like you said, Matt. He also said again, Duncan Davies struggling in the fullback positions. Obviously, interesting that Dan Jones wasn't in the side. Obviously, Carl Noll forced out due to injury. Davies' first time cross was sublime, as he says, and great as well to have Richards at the back post. Might be old and slow, but he's a proper striker and knows how to get up in the right place at the right time. We faded a bit once he got subbed off, as we had no one to hold the ball up. Fully expect Richards to get double figures this season. Before we move on to what else, Lynch said, what about that, man? Do you think Richards is on for double figures?
Well, if he keeps getting balls like Leon delivered to him, for sure. I don't think he'll be too far off, you know. But again, it's a case of how much can he, can he play? We don't know what Jarbo's situation is at the moment. A lot of things going around saying he's been concussed again, which wouldn't probably surprise me. But, you know... he's had a good start to the season, Jarbo, actually. I've been impressed with what he has done. But Mark Richards has got a little bit something about him. He's got no pace, obviously, whatsoever, fully expected. But he gets in the right place at the right time, which is something that we have lacked since, Barry Corr played about sort of 10 games for us when he first came in, and before he decided he was going to sit the other 2.5 years out and the rest probably. So there is... he's just got a little bit something about him in front of goal. He does get in the right places. We did struggle, and we struggled again on Tuesday when he went off. And I said at the time, it was probably the wrong decision to take him off. He does add a little bit more presence. He does help out, Dallas. He did help out Smith and Nibs for the few minutes that they were all on. And the thing is he's got to keep going. It's 2-2 now for him, and he's the striker in form, and it'll probably be the first name on the sheet again on Tuesday.
We missed the obvious joke though, because goalkeeper Dean Gherkin, so he got himself in a pickle.
So. Prices. That's why he's here. That's why Stu's here.
That's all I'm saying.
and in terms of the strikers, Matt, if you had to just pick two, who would you go for? Because obviously there was no Jabbo on the weekend. Dallas and Richards started up front against Colchester. We've seen Richards and Smith. We've seen Harvey Nibbs play in the week as well. If you had a choice of two, who would you pluck for?
I think right now, Richards and Dallas are the first two. Absolutely, they've got a little bit of sort of link up play going. Dallas, I have to say, did work quite hard again without a little bit of luck. Mark Richards is undroppable right now. Two good performances, and if Jarbo's going to be out for a little bit, then he is going to be your number one starter, and it's up to the young lads basically to get him out of the team. As to be said, Smith played okay when he came on for a little cameo. Harvey Nibbs again is a strange one. He got shifted out to the right hand side to start with, and then he came in and played up front once Richards went off. So it's going to be interesting with what we do with him, and how Collins sees him fitting in. He should play up front, of course, but he needs somebody alongside him. I'd like to see him up there with Jarbo or with Mark Richards, I have to say. I'd like to see what he can do from the start. But again, we spoke yesterday, and he's out of he's out of sort of match fitness at the moment. He's a little bit behind the others, probably not ready to start a game, so he's got to come on and make an impression when he gets on the pitch. And he's doing okay, but again, he probably needs a little bit more game time. But Richards and Dallas will probably be my front two for Tuesday, and then hopefully if Jarbo's back, it probably him and Smith will be up front on Saturday to give it a more rotation in up top, at least.
Yeah, we'll come on to Tuesday in just a bit. Looking at the league table though, Matt, the U's currently 10th on the same amount of points as Bradford, who occupy the last playoff place in 7th. Has your expectations / ambitions sort of changed at all? Has the U's start tailored your expectations at all? Are you still expecting me to sort of scroll down on the screen and go to the bottom end of the table come May?
Yeah, I think at some point we might have to scroll down a little bit. It has to be said, it has been a good start. It's probably been one of our best starts for 2-3 seasons now, probably a bit longer. But the problem is obviously momentum. Games come thick and fast. We've obviously got the cup game in a couple of weeks' time as well. And one of the issues I think we do have is in the middle of the park is, playing that diamond formation. You've got four central midfielders playing on the pitch. I think Colin probably wants to rotate a couple of them out and then bring them back in for the next game. And I think it's going to be tough. Obviously, the Samir Carruthers deal hasn't been done yet. He spoke about it at length on Thursday. We're still waiting. Gary Deegan, you know, we wish him all the best still, but it's a horrible thing that he's got. He'd be a body in the pitch in the middle of the park. We know our thoughts about Gary Deegan at times, but he would be an extra body for more rotation. And
of course, Liam O'Neill coming back as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that will help a little bit that somehow. Fair play to Liam O'Neill, who did okay at Bradford's. He didn't do too much wrong apart from get sent off. But he's got an opportunity. If we're going to keep playing that diamond, rotation in the middle of the park is going to be key to try and keep some of those players, fresh or as fresh as we can. And especially the more important one, Luke Hannant, who I think, has been a really, really good signing and is a good player. And he's going to be massively key for us this year. But we've got to try and keep him fresh and we've got to try and keep him injury free, which is going to be the problem, keep playing this diamond. But I think we might, switch now and again to that sort of, 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, however you want to do it, just to, give the wing backs and say, I think it might be Leon's probably better position to start off until Carl Noyle comes back, and then, we can go from there.
Yeah, so the use, you're saying, Matt, currently still playing the diamond over the last few weeks. Has it been because we have seen sort of Colin try this flat four in midfield as well, with Hannant and Reggie Lamb occupying the wide areas, but it is definitely a diamond at the minute.
It is more of a diamond than anything else.
Is it different to the diamond that we saw under Joe and Sean? Because obviously there was a lot of talk at that time that we were saying we want to stop playing the diamond. It's really getting, and the Ewes were not getting results with it. But obviously it seems to be working at the minute.
It is for now. And I have to say, I think, we've got the right type of players at the moment to play the diamond. I think, I don't know who put it into Sean Derry's head and Joe Dunn's head to play the diamond. But if you look at those four players, George Maris, Paul Lewis, Reggie Lamb and Luke Hannant, not one of them is a real sort of out and out winger. Yeah. They all like to play in midfield. They're all basis central midfielders. Luke Hannant does a very good job pulling out to the left hand side to support the left back. It was Harrison Dunk yesterday, but he linked up really, really well with Dan Jones in the last home game. Reggie Lamb, I give him credit. He was okay Tuesday night. He ran hard on Tuesday. He had to do a lot of work. He did that bit. He wasn't probably as creative as he'd like to have been. But second half, he got on the ball a little bit more and, tried to do one or two things and, looked a little bit more forward for once than he normally does. And, as I say, fair play to him. But I think he himself, and I think Colin would say that he probably is more of a sort of central midfielder or playing behind the striker type of player than an actual out-and-out winger. So, as I say, he has got options. He can move people across, and you've got Tom Knowles who can come in and play as a winger. Harrison Dunk can play as a winger as well. So there are wingers in the team. If Colin wants to change it and say go to a 4-4-2, he does seem to kind of like the switching to the sort of 3-5-2, 5-3-2 thing though, which, as I say, it's worked. It came off very well Tuesday night, has to be said. The change actually worked again yesterday, with Harry coming on, and it looks a lot more solid as well, switching to that formation. But it's good to see that we've got another game plan. We have got a plan B if we need to change it, and the players have responded well to what Colin obviously wants to do. And one of the things that the Colchester fans were saying to us yesterday after the game is that John McGrill, when plan A's not working, they've got no plan B. Well, for years and years we've been saying we've got no plan definitely, B, but now we've definitely got one. And as I say, it's all positive at the moment, but it all comes when that first defeat comes, and we'll see how far we go then.
Yeah, positivity is getting too strong in the studio, so we'll bring in Stu in just a bit. But just quickly, I want to finish off on Ranulph Lynch's text. He says two home games coming up now against the bottom two teams. We're looking to, need to be looking at getting 4 points minimum off out of these games. I'm going to say this now, as I might not get a chance the rest of the season, but we're only 2 points off the top of the league. Good point, Lynchy, good point. He's also said he's getting seriously dizzy at the thought of us winning two games in a week. Stay strong, Lynch. He also got a text in from Keith. It just says, A, Maybe he's grading the season so far. I think A's a pretty good
grade. Well done, Keith. Yeah. A.
I mean, A plus would be all wins, but A's fair enough. Stu, I guess from a, I would say more of an outsider looking, I guess someone who's probably more logical about the Ewes form over the years, how would you sum up their season so far?
I think they've done well. I said before the season, I think it would be 0-0. We'd defend well, we've got 2 0-0s. I think the thing is, yesterday it was a really good win, but you see the goal, and it shouldn't necessarily have gone in. If another keeper, it might have, it's fine margins. The win of Brentford again, but you never really lead. You don't read anything into anything. I think August's always a bit of a crazy month because the league like getting a lot of fixtures out of the way. Early doors, I think October really is when you should start looking at the league fixtures. I think we're keeping players fit. You know, we've got 4 or 5 fit strikers. Leon Davis, it's really good to see him playing well. He's been a bit of a conundrum over the last few years. Football league clubs looking at him from a lot higher up.
Yeah.
But then the form not necessarily reflecting that.
And what do you
think
his best position is, Stu? Because I don't think he's really found it yet in the youth team.
I was a massive advocate of having him and or Norville Williams and or Knowles as wing-backs/wingers. I think we're quite blessed to have those three players. I'm not sure. I haven't seen that much of him, but I think more as a wing-back rather than a functional kind of full-back. But I think the days of functional kind of defensive full-backs are dying out anyway, such as the tactical fluidity. And I think to have, you know, someone like Mark Richards, as you've said, he's like an upgrade on Jabbo. Again, not being disrespectful to Jabbo, but Mark's come in, you know, he's looking effective, isn't he? And Luke Hannon as well. He's actually looking quite dynamic and in the middle of the pitch. And maybe Reggie Lamb is performing better from not being one of Amu, Lamb and Brown, all expected to do similar things on the pitch in similar areas and similarly tactically. If he's allowed that breathing space to do that, then he's doing that, and he's doing that well. I think it's I know he's sad about the bottom too, but Scunthorpe are a very, very good team who are expected to be up there. There's no reason why they shouldn't be. Oldham are a basket case, effectively the Newcastle or, you know, Bolton and Bury of League Two, as it were, at the bottom of the table. It's hard to call. They've got a foreign manager, they've got a bunch of foreign players and a fan base who aren't really behind them, so they could turn up and lose 5-0, they could beat us 5-0, we don't really know. But Scunthorpe will be a really good test. But it's nice to see the club united. It's nice to see everyone together. It's a Tuesday night under the lights of the Abbey. It's always special, and you never know. You know, I don't even think if you say you got, was it 6 points out of the first 4 games against the games that we've had away at Colchester, away at Bradford, home to Scunthorpe. That's got to be solid. Mm. That's got to be something to build on. And then, yeah, so I think there's definite positive signs, really. For the first time in a long time, really. And actually, whatever you think about the quality of players as well, as teams like Stevenage and Grimsby and other teams have proven in the past, this league is sometimes more about being more as a whole than the sum of your parts. You don't need to be that good to do very well in this league. If you can string 4 or 5 solid displays together, you can be in, you know, mid-table contention. So if we can continue doing that, there's no reason why we should not be looking over our shoulders. Only concerning thing is there isn't, but Oldham aside, any teams that are obviously going to do badly, like Macclesfield, everyone was like they will do badly. Campbell's left. They've got some good players in that team, and you know,
like Manny Ozadebo.
Well, that's it. But Theo Archibald has started on fire. He's a boy with a lot of talent, and there's no one else really that, you know. Salford haven't won a couple of games where they ain't going to struggle. Northampton, Stevenage should do better. Morecambe look better this year. Carlisle, I don't know. It's hard. So we just need to keep ourselves going.
Yeah, I think
open-mindedness, I think, is what's required.
Yeah, certainly so. And I do think you make a good point about Oldham. If you look at, I guess, the similarities in terms of off-field struggles, I guess with the likes of Notts County last year,
yeah, absolutely,
you'd probably pin them as the side of the minute that might struggle.
Yeah, I just think because this manager Bastide, he's been all over the world, I believe, and some of the players that they've got are a bit of a, I don't know, they're completely unknown you know, don't know what to make of him in League Two. And when Paul Scholes was only in for about a month, he was saying that the owner wants to be in charge of team selection and things like that. And Oldham are just a team who've kind of floated around for a long time. They kind of, unfortunately, I hate to say it, they smack of a York, a Stockport, a Hartlepool kind of team, a big traditional northern powerhouse team who are quite good, who are just a traditional football league team, who don't have an identity. They don't have local players. They're not bringing through youth players anymore. I think the last time they were doing quite well was when they had Lee Johnson. They've gone through John Sheridan about six times since then, various other managers, and nothing's really popped up for them. And now they're struggling at the bottom of the League Two, like Yeovil as well. You know, they've been much higher. They have a lot of potential. They built a lovely new stand there. Paul Scholes and everything look positive, but there's just no players, nothing about them, really. But as I say, for all we know, it's a bit like Crawley, because Crawley are similar. They have foreign owners, foreign manager, a lot of foreign players, but they seem to be doing all right. So if Oldham can get this cosmopolitanism working... But I think it should work in our benefit that we're so early in the season, and we should be looking at that.
Thank you to Matt for talking the Ewes there. Moving on to Cambridge City now, and they got their season off to a super start. 2-1 victory over Tilbury, and looking at the league table already, it looks pretty after one game. 8th in the table. Of course, I'm sure Robbie will want to continue moving up that, and I'd like to say he joins me now. Thanks for coming on the show, Robbie.
Thanks, Ollie. Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, how are you doing? You good?
Yeah, very well, mate. Very well.
Good. I imagine you're pretty happy after yesterday. All the talk after pre-season, 5 wins out of 8, but finally getting down to proper business and starting very well.
Yeah, it was. It was a tough game. You know, they're a very good side. You know, they've sort of, you know, they've strengthened their group with some good players over the summer. And it was a very tough game, but you know, they had a lad sent off after a few minutes, and it was, it killed it a bit because they sort of were more happy to defend and try and, you know, hit the long ball to counter, you know, hit us on the counter. And, you know, we just couldn't quite get our passing game going. And, you know, we were a little bit disappointed with our performance. But, you know, like you say, first game of the season, a win, you know, that's the most important thing. You know, performances come second, you know, points are what we're about. And it was a fantastic start and two very good goals, you know, two very well-worked goals. And, you know, just disappointed we gave a sloppy penalty away with about 8 minutes to go. And it became a nervy sort of last sort of 10 minutes, really, which it shouldn't have been. You know, we controlled most of the second half up until that point. And, you know, we just sort of handed them an opportunity to get back in the game. But, you know, thankfully, the lads defended well and we saw the game out quite comfortably in the end.
Hello, mate. It's Stuart here. It's nice to hear you sound so cheerful after the last 6 months of last season, where it kind of felt like ringing you up and you were stuck in purgatory. honestly, mate, I mean, it was a really good win. You won away, you know, and you're still missing players. Like, Rolfie weren't there. You know, a couple of others. So you must be feeling positive.
It was very. This is a new group. Kept sort of 8 or so from last year's group, and you know it's hopefully, you know, this group can stay together. You know, like you say, we're missing Rolfie, who's a massive part of our back four and a great talker, great leader of that back four. And yeah, you know, we missed him, you know, with his communication yesterday more than anything, and his quality on the ball as well. You know, when you're looking to play from the back and you've got someone like Rolfe, you can pass it, you know, break the lines of the pass. You know, we did miss him. You know, and also, you know, we signed Tony Burnett, who at this level, you know, he should be a handful. You know, he's injured, and the boy Reece Weeks that we signed, you know, he's another one that he's a really, really quick winger who can travel with the ball, and like yesterday would have been an ideal game for him. So lots and lots of positives from yesterday. You know, the only, you know, we want to play good football. And we just thought we were a little bit tense yesterday. When you're that cold spring and you're ready to go, and it just weren't us from like a few weeks back. But like I say, 3 points is the most important thing, and hopefully performances will get better and we can carry on this winning start.
And I'm quite intrigued. Obviously, August's a bit crazy with the 4 games in the next 2 weeks, but how much preparation are you able to do? Obviously, you will know quite a lot about Bury and Ayr players because they're quite familiar and local, but the likes of Dereham and Holbridge and I can't remember who it is you've got in the cup, but these guys are going to be unfamiliar to you, the players, the set-up, you know, the kind of thing. How much preparation are you sending Theo and Midge out, or are you having to, you know, look on White Scout or whatever? And I guess you're enjoying the new experiences as well as kind of having to learn yourself.
Yeah, we had an experience at Sarum two, three years ago, me and Theo. And, you know, a lot of those players are still in the level. A lot of them have moved clubs. So we know a lot about Dereham. From our time at Simon. We know the players around that area. You know, the boy Hipson that they've got from Norwich, you know, he's a good player. They've got the boy Gatton, who, you know, he plays up front. And, they'll be a good team. The boy Chris, you know, they've got lots of good players in their team. And, you know, they'll be disappointed with throwing away a 2-goal lead on Saturday. So they'll be, you know, up for coming and play at Histon on Wednesday. And, you know, we've got Barton in the cup. We're familiar to Barton. So that'll be an interesting one for us to see where we are compared to where they are, you know, and from last season. And Bury, like you say, we do know, you know, we know JK who's in there, we know Chenners who's the manager, so we know a lot of their players. So it'll be good. It'll be good to pit ourselves against different players and different managers, and so yeah, we're looking forward to it. You know, we did like last season when we knew we were looking for new players, we did cover this league. I've taken in games Holbridge, so I know again what they're about. They're a big, strong, athletic team, and you know, I was surprised by their result yesterday. So we cover all bases. We've got lots of people that go and watch games for us as well. So you know, we know what we're coming up against, and hopefully, you know, what we've got in our armoury, hopefully, it will be good enough to get us maximum points in those games.
Yeah, Robbie, just a quick word on the style of play as well, because obviously last season, in terms of up front and your main striker, your main target man was Josh Yinsan. He, of course, made the move in the summer to Welling. Looking at the team sheet now that played yesterday, Matty Foy up front probably couldn't be more different in terms of a type of striker. Has your style of play had to evolve or change over the summer to accommodate that?
It means that the fullbacks are getting it now and they have to pass it, which is what we've always wanted. And it's not an easy out where you can say, well, we've got Josh up front, we can slump it and get up the pitch. So it's made us play more, which is what I want. The players we've got in midfield, Kirkpatrick, Watkins, Maynard, Dupre, you guys probably haven't seen him yet. An exciting, exciting prospect. 18 years old, 6'2", Yaya Toure type, gets around the pitch, strong, aggressive. He is a player, and you know, we've got those types in midfield and we want to play through them. And when you've got Sparrow, Bell, Weeks and Booth on the wide areas, we want to get them the ball. So that's how we want to play. We want to get it into people's feet. We want to get the wingers running at fullbacks. We want to, you know, get Matty Foy on the ball in and around the box, because at this level he should, you know, take it in his stride and score lots of goals for us. It's exciting times. We've got a very young group with 4 or 5 25-26 year olds, so it is a really good group, and they're a really tight group already. So you know, it hopefully will be a very exciting season.
Yeah, well, hopefully so, Robbie. All the best for the game in the week against Dereham Town. Hopefully you can pick up another 3 points.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Robbie. moving on to Histon now, and they unfortunately couldn't get off to a winning start in the BetVictor Isthmian North Division, losing 3-1 to Heybridge Swifts. Manager Lance Key joins me on the phone now. Hi, Lance.
Hello.
Hi, Lance, you there?
Let's
talk about yesterday then, and obviously unfortunately you can get off to a great start in the league, a 3-1 loss to Heybridge Swifts. What was your thoughts on the match? Stewie just told me lost the first half 3-0, but a positive performance in the second half, winning the second half 1-0.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much that. I think first half was a bit naive in the way we went about things. We probably paid them too much respect in the grand scheme of things, and the way we went about it, 3-0 at half. Yes, we played at half time, but I think we created chances in the first half. We had 2 or 3 good chances first half, even though we were 3-0 down, and we still thought we had chances in the second half. And it's one of those games where if we take our chances first half, we wish them the game. We didn't, and I think that's the difference at this level. They were very ruthless, we weren't, and I think that's black and white at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't obviously sound patronising, but did you notice a difference in the step up in divisions at all?
Definitely. I think, front three, stroke four were lively, they made runs off people, they were probably, we say it week in, week out, people that are more effective off the ball, and yesterday I think that shows. They were very dynamic in the way they attacked us, but also, on the flip side, they defensively they were quite poor in a way, and we weren't able to manipulate that.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, one thing you pride yourself on last season was the defensive solidity, conceding obviously 3 goals on the opening day. I guess how the likes of Max Short, Rob Ruddy, the guys who obviously were so keen on keeping those clean sheets week in, week out, how they react to the opening day defeat?
I think, personally, I think, you know, we said it at half time, the first 2 goals were very poor from our point, that one was from a throw-in, and we didn't press the throw-in down from the second ball. And actually, the second goal was from a set piece. So, and they were our main strengths last year, where we could defend like set pieces. And so, we look at the goals we conceded yesterday, and yesterday weren't great. We created probably 5, 6, 7 chances, and I think that if we can still do that at this level, then we've still got half a chance of competing. Now, we're not coming to this league to win this league, whereas Heybridge Swifts are. I spoke to them before the game yesterday, and they said to us that they want to be in the top 3. You know, that's their limit. So we're at a different level to what they are right now. And if we can, like, second half and compete like we did and show what we can have and be, well, to win the game the second half 1-0, the way we went about it, I think it shows that we can actually probably step up and match ourselves against most teams in this league.
Hello, mate. Just quickly, I know I saw you last night, but just to touch the crowd, 244, that's a massive positive, isn't it? And I know there'll be more away fans in this league as well, but if you can continue to harness that, and obviously you will have some big local games as well, that must be a huge positive. And even after the results are like disappointing, there's still loads to be positive about, isn't there?
Yeah, without a doubt. We said this yesterday, you know, like after the game, what do you take out of it? First half poor, second half very good. Support, unbelievable. And I think you've got teams that are from, you know, obviously down the boundary on 11, that they'll bring more people to watch games. And, you know, if we can have that kind of that attractiveness, if you like, from a crowd perspective, then I think it all bodes well. You know, at the end of the day, we're trying to survive. And if we can do that this year, then great. It's all about consolidation. And obviously, Tuesday night now, so away is a massive game.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lance, just lastly then, like you said, Soham coming up in the week. I guess it doesn't give you much time to settle in the division. It's constantly just being thrusted in front of you. You have no time to, I guess, recover or think about the match. You have to go again straight away, and you put right in the deep end.
In a way, yes. But you know, it wasn't going to be easy. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know. We won the league by 14 points last year. We're on a bit of a high. Everyone goes into yesterday's game thinking that we can match Heybridge. And we soon, in the first 45 minutes, were shown that actually it's a massive step up compared to where we were last year. The quality of finishing, the quality of movement off the ball, the quality of the whole scenario, as in how they're set up, their formations, how they're organised. And it just shows you that the difference from step 5 to step 4 is a big step. So, same on Tuesday night, we're no different. They've been in this league for, what, 2 or 3 years now. But we both lost on Saturday 3-1, so let's hope we can get a positive result on Saturday, on Tuesday.
Well, thank you, Lance. Thanks for coming on the show, and wish you all the best against Sam in the week.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you, Lance. Talking the women's game now, and Cambridge United women and Cambridge City ladies both in action. It was a devastating 2-1 loss for United women against Enfield Town. I was at the match down at St Neots earlier, and we'll hear from Kevin Hoover now, who joins us on the phone. Are you there, Kevin?
I am, Ollie.
How are you doing? You good?
Yes, thanks. Yeah.
Good, yeah. Let's talk a bit about the game earlier then, Kevin. Very competitive match between yourselves and Enfield, who finished third last season. And in my eyes, a dominant performance from yourself, but just a cruel way to end the game, a 2-1 loss.
Yeah, it was, well, yeah, harsh for us to end up losing the game. We weathered a storm first sort of 10 minutes the first half, dealt with their set pieces well, and then we grew into the game. And yeah, certainly second half, I thought we controlled the game large parts, and we just, when we were on top for that sort of first 25 minutes of the second half, we didn't really get the goal that we needed to push us in front. I think if we'd gone in front, we would have held on. But yeah, overall, pleased with the performance, but obviously not with the result.
Yeah, and responded so well to going 1-0 down, and really went into the half-time break the team on top. And then getting the equaliser just before half time, and then trying to push to get the goal to take them in front. What do you reckon was missing, really, to get that, I guess, extra bit of quality and try and get the ball in the back of the net?
Just a bit of luck. There are certain times in the second half where the ball's flashed across the goal and we just needed a touch. Certainly in the first half as well, where two or three crosses come in, and we're talking about Avinci to having someone on the end of it. And that's sort of the fine lines in our division. You either, you know, you get on the end of them and you punish teams, or you get punished yourself. And yeah, we just probably weren't clinical enough going forwards at times, but that will come. It's just the first game of the season. There's an awful lot of change happened in the squad in terms of how we're playing, and the girls are learning. They're learning fast, and with each game and week that goes by, they're just going to get stronger and stronger. And yeah, myself and Ben, we've got full confidence in what they're going to deliver us. So yeah, whilst we're obviously disappointed not to get anything out of the game, we're actually really pleased with how they've reacted to certainly going a goal down and showing that character that we know they've got in abundance to come back. And yeah, they're all, you know, chins on the floor right now, but they'll certainly pick themselves up and we'll go again next week.
Yeah, you must be really pleased with the performance element of the match, competing, like I said, against a side who were third in the division last year. How do you then, I guess, get the girls back up and try and get them ahead of the next thing, try and get them lifted ahead of the match in the Cup against Leinoran next Sunday?
I think the beauty of the group of players we've got at the minute, we won't have to lift them at all. They'll do that all on their own. They're desperate to do well. They're hungry to keep improving. So come Tuesday, Thursday, when we go training, they'll be flying. And yeah, we'll deal with today's loss, but we'll just look forward to later. We know that'll be difficult, but from our point of view, you know, losing and being edged out in such a fashion, we can deal with that because we know we're in the game and we know our quality's there. So, you know, I'd rather that than get turned over on the first day, because yeah, we'd be a bit more concerned. But where we are right now, yeah, I'm happy. The group are happy as in terms of their performance level. We just need to get over the line and get a point on the board. But that will come. I've got no doubt about that. So, yeah, I'm comfortable.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Kevin. Thanks for joining us, and wish you all the best next Sunday against Leinoran.
Thanks, Ollie. Thanks.
Cheers, Kevin. Kevin Hoover there, Cambridge United women's manager, talking to us after their side lost 2-1 to Enfield Town. They went 1-0 down in the match, came back with a brilliant goal just before half-time, a great strike from Charlotte Crisp in the middle of midfield to make it 1-1, but then Enfield grabbed a real late, late winner. It was a cruel defeat for Cambridge United women. Talking Cambridge City ladies now, and manager Tim Rapley joins me on the line after a 5-1 defeat to Leinoran today. Are you there, Tim?
Yes, hi, Ollie.
How are you doing? You good?
A bit better on a Sunday afternoon, to be honest.
Yeah, obviously a disappointing defeat today Tim. Obviously winning the Eastern Premier last season, up into the National League for the first time. Was the, I guess, the scoreline suggest a bit of a reality check and a bit of a step up? Did it seem that way in the performance?
Yeah, I think it probably was, to be fair. We knew it would be a tough game going to Leighton Orient. They've signed quite a few players, actually. I think reading their programme notes, anyway, from West Ham and Millwall and Crystal Palace. So I think they'll be up there challenging this year. So, yeah, it was always going to be, you know, a big test for us. We didn't start the game at all well. We were 1-0 down after about 3 minutes. And they scored bizarrely directly from a corner. So that was quite disappointing. And I think affected the girls a little bit to go down so early on. But they came back into the game. We got an equaliser. So we were right back in it, and we were 2-1 down at half time. But a bit of a reality check, yes. I'm sure we'll learn loads from it.
Yeah, and of course, a side that Cambridge City Ladies were a side that kept Gordon's how many clean sheets last season, only conceded 18 goals in the league. So obviously a bit of a blow to concede 5 straight off the first game. Is it? I guess it must be a weird feeling for the defensive unit, who probably haven't conceded 5 goals in a long time.
Yeah, well, it was a bit. I sort of spoke to them after the game and said it's really how we react to having a heavy defeat, because, as you say, we were pretty dominant last year and didn't really experience it a great deal. So, I don't want to experience it every week, that's for sure, because it's not a nice feeling. But I think maybe, you know, first game, it does show the standard of play that we'll be up against week in, week out. So hopefully we'll turn it into a positive that, we won't allow that to happen, hopefully, too many times in the season. But we know it's going to be tough. We know we're up for a very, very big challenge. We've seen the standard now, and we'll need to raise it and improve very, very quickly.
And just fine, like you said, obviously need to pick the girls up and go again. Did kind of a result like this, I guess, scare the group, obviously, because we're doing so well last season, and suddenly to get hit for 5 against Leighton Orient, it must be, this must be obviously a difficult step. I guess you've probably just got to level their standards and not get too high or low, like you always say, when you win and lose.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, we don't get too carried away when we were winning, and we won't get too downbeat about taking a defeat. We've also got a very tough game next week. We're going to Chichester in the League Cup, who play in the league above. So, you know, we're under no illusion it's going to be a very tough game next week. But, I've got every confidence. I've got a big belief in the girls that are there and the ones that we've brought in. I'm sure we'll be competitive. It may take us a little while just to, you know, get up to speed and up to standard and learn quickly. But, I'm really looking forward to it. It's not very nice to take a big defeat on the first day of the season, but we'll come back strong.
So that's it for this week on the 105 Football Weekly Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. To let you know what's coming up on Cambridge 105 Radio sport-wise over the next 7 days, well, the Cambridgeshire Football Show returns on Saturday lunchtime with myself, Ollie Slack, looking ahead to all of the best football action over the weekend. We've got United, City, Histon and the Grassroots game. Then the results show gets underway at 5 p.m, rounding up all of the results from across the local scene and the country, including Premier League, EFL, United, City, Histon, and as all the rest of our side, St Neots and I've chucked in as well, the lot. We'll also be previewing Cambridge United Women's and Cambridge City Ladies League Cup fixtures, which take place on Sunday. City travel to Chichester City in a tough determining round fixture there. United also have a toughie away to Leighton Orient. On Sunday, from the terraces, rounding up the football action over the weekend. The show by the fans, for the fans. They want to know your views. Make sure you get in touch with them on Sunday evening, 6 till 7 p.m. 07919 070490 is the way to text in and get your views across. They're desperate for them on From the Terraces. Then on Wednesday, From the Pavilion is back. The cricket season is drawing to a close, and myself and Callum Guest will have it all covered for you, as these matches mean more than ever. Victories are crucial, losses are damaging at this stage of the season. We'll be there 6 p.m. on Wednesday, and then of course next week the football gets going once again, starting with the Cambridge Football Show on Saturday. Make sure you tune in next week to the 105 Football Weekly Podcast, the best bits from Cambridge 105 Radio's football shows over the last 7 days. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll see you again very soon.